Revealing the Truth is a half-hour program designed to share the deeper truths from the Bible. We invite you to join us now for today's study and to consider the following.
Are you a new believer? Have you felt the urgings of the Spirit in your heart and in your mind? Are you seeking the truth of Scripture? You may want to consider Yahweh's assembly in Yahshua.
It has been almost 2,000 years since the Messiah has walked the earth. Satan has done much, from instilling pagan ideas into true worship, to actually encouraging men to cover up the true names of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Our mission and purpose is to reach people around the world with the message of the revealed personal names of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua the Messiah, as well as teaching the salvational truths that have been neglected for centuries. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's time to prepare.
Welcome to Revealing the Truth. I'm John Fisher, and with me is David Brett. We began our program today by asking if you out there who are watching have been touched by the Spirit, if you consider yourself a new believer, and if you're looking for the truth. And we proposed the idea that you consider our assembly, Yahweh's assembly in Yahshua.
Which is a little different than just revealing the truth. I mean, we do this program on a weekly basis and share some of the information that we have. And of course, there's a lot more on our website. But we are an assembly, a body of believers, and one of the reasons that we have assembly in our name of Yahweh's assembly in Yahshua is because the going back and doing a word study, we find ecclesia is used, and basically it means a called out people, a chosen people.
Exactly.
And I think when we find the Father calling and Yahshua, the Savior, choosing His people, we're being called and chosen out of the world to be separate, to be a clean people,
right.
to His glory, to His honor.
Yeah. And so many groups of people seeking truth have the mind of being tolerant of others. I mean, of course, we're supposed to love everyone, including our enemies even. However, what I see happening is people blending together ideas and incorporating ideas into their liturgy, if you will, that really are not scriptural.
Yeah,
and this isn't just a recent thing. I mean, this happened, you know, in the century after Yahshua was impaled. Mm-hmm. If we look at Paul, I mean, what's the first instance we see of Paul? He's out capturing people who believe in the Messiah, taking them back to Jerusalem for judgment and even death. Mm-hmm. But he was called out very powerfully by Yahshua himself, speaking in Hebrew.
Yep.
Paul, he got it. He understood that this was the Messiah. This is the one that all of Israel was waiting for. And then he began to preach, and he made some really powerful connections in the Scripture, including the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, basically trying to spread the word of Yahweh, mm-hmm. And to announce the arrival of the Messiah, who is coming again to restore Israel. He's coming to get the children of Israel, mm-hmm. the children of Yahweh.
Now, he warned about those that would rise up even after his departure, that there would be those that would rise up and mm-hmm. teach distorted things to draw disciples away from the truth to
right.
themselves. Mm-hmm. And I do think we find some teachings out there that are just not right, not kosher, not clean.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be ecumenical, which I think is the technical term
right.
for allowing everyone to just be a part of things, it provides confusion mm-hmm. for new believers. Because if they walk into a situation where there is a number of different beliefs and no one is seeing eye to eye, it's like a house divided. It won't stand.
Right. You know, to believe whatever you think is true is true is, in today's worldly nomenclature, existentialism. It's basically whatever you believe is true, and there are many pathways to the kingdom. And, well, I don't see that preached in the scripture. I see see holy itself. The word holy means set apart out of the world, abiding by the laws of the word, the teachings of Yahweh. What does he want from us? What are his words to us? And his words to us are the seventh-day Sabbath is a holy convocation to meet with him. It's an appointed time. The other appointed times are Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the sheaf wave offering, Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. These all pertain to the Messiah. They are fulfilled by the Messiah. Only three of them have been fulfilled so far. And there are four more in his second coming that he's going to fulfill. Why do the churches not teach that?
Well, not only that reason, for that reason, but it was kept in the Old Testament. It was kept, these things were kept in the New, and they will be kept in the future kingdom, the one that we hope to obtain eternal life and be brought into as a spirit people. And when we neglect Yahweh's word, we're actually disobeying the Messiah's admonition to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Not to just live on physical sustenance alone, but by the word which gives us spiritual sustenance. And of course, we do find ourselves repenting after we start to learn some things that we didn't realize needed to be done prior to or being enlightened, you know, coming to an understanding. So we turn, we come and draw closer to Yahweh. And when he says that these appointed times are forever, they're perpetual statutes forever, we understand why Scripture describes them in the Old Testament and in the New, and that they'll be kept in the coming kingdom.
Paul cautions us not to do like, you know, he speaks of Israel as being partially blind, and to not do like Israel did, which is, you know, making gold calves and bowing down and worshiping, making idols, setting new times for our celebrations. He says, don't do that. And what I see today happening is that people are doing that same thing that Israel did. They're creating new holidays, new holy days, not paying attention to what the Scripture says. There's just been many false beliefs that have been perpetuated. The idea of a successionism that Yahweh gives either makes an agreement or issues a law, and people today believe that he can give it and is gone the next day, or, you know, when the new one comes up. None of the agreements, none of the covenants that Yahweh has made with man are done away with. All of them, either physically or spiritually, are still in existence.
Now, if we're in the Messiah, then we're indeed in the new covenant. But if you're not in the Messiah, come the kingdom, the Old Testament sacrifices even come into play for the physical people.
And, you know, what is the new covenant? Well, it's found in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, in Jeremiah 31 and following, that Yahweh will put his law in our hearts and in our minds. And that's repeated word for word in the book of Hebrews in chapter 8.
Yeah, so it's found in the New Testament.
Right.
And there's another parallel prophecy, Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. The whole reason that we're given the Spirit is so that we will be coming closer to Yahweh and being obedient to his ways.
Absolutely. And it is the power of the Spirit within us that allows us to be obedient to Yahweh.
The fourth commandment is very specific in that we are to remember something. What is it, though, that we're to remember? It is to remember to keep the seventh day holy. Today, because of man's traditions, people are keeping the first day as a day of worship. This day stems from pagan sun worship, hence the name Sunday. To learn more, request your free mini-study entitled, Is the First Day of the Week Holy? write to YAIY, 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit us online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll-free 1-877-642-4101.
We are speaking to you who are looking for the truth. And some of the things I think we say might be considered harsh, but when you think of Yahshua and how he spoke to the Pharisees, I mean, he called them a brood of vipers. He said that they worship in the house of Satan, mm-hmm. that their father was the devil because he was the father of lies. And I mean, that talk about harsh. Mm-hmm.
But what was the main thing they were doing? Why did he say that?
Exactly. That's the point I want to make, is that they were coming up with their own rules and regulations and laws. Mm-hmm. And there may have been justification for that in the very beginning. This began to happen 300 years before the Messiah appeared. And what happened 300 years before that? Well, Greece invaded the land and took over the land. They defiled the temple. Mm-hmm. And then 150 years after that, Rome came in and took over. You know, so Alexander the Great had died before Greece came in. But his goal was to basically bring the Grecian philosophical and deities to the nations that he conquered. He wanted to have, spread Greece all around, you know. But it worked very well. I mean, Colosseums were built, and they instituted games and stuff. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the disciples had to deal with the Temple of Artemis in mm-hmm. Ephesus, mm-hmm. and that influence was there. And we find scriptures such as Colossians 2, for example, that are taken out of context, which are actually talking about dogmas or man-made rules and, mm-hmm. and ideas. And you know, the Messiah puts things like that away and of course takes the penalty of sin away from us, which is death. Mm-hmm. So we have life in him, we're justified in him. So we find that we're not justified by keeping laws and such, but we're not to neglect them because it can actually take us out of the coming kingdom. Mm-hmm. The Messiah himself said that our righteousness is to exceed that of the Pharisees, or by no means will we enter into the kingdom. He said, no way will you enter unless you exceed their righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now, they would teach out of the book of Moses, or out of the law, and which is Yahweh's law. Mm-hmm. In fact, when you go back to Leviticus 23 and verse 2, I think it says, Yahweh says, these appointed times are mine. You know, we talk about the Sabbath, and they're his. And a lot of people will say, well, isn't this Jewish? Or this was some time back for Israel only. Right. Well, we've already talked about things coming into the kingdom. Zechariah 14, in verse 18, if the family of Egypt does not come up to enter into the Feast of Tabernacles, then no rain will fall upon them. It will be the plague with which Yahweh smites the nations who do not go up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the annual times that Yahweh has set apart and tells us to keep. Now, it's true we don't do physical sacrifices on those times when, as we are in Messiah, we're in the new covenant. Mm-hmm. But if you read Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, 42 on, you'll find that there's prophecy for the kingdom, and the physical people are going to be, it indicates that they're going to be doing physical sacrifices. Now, how is that possible? Why would that be? Well, those that don't come into the Messiah now will be being taught, because it was a schoolmaster. Mm-hmm. To right. teach the people. Right. It was the law that was added. Galatians talks about this. The law that was added was the sacrifices, because blood had to be shed mm-hmm. for sin.
Right. And the first sacrifice was back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying the one rule that that Yahweh gave them, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And he gave skins to them. Well, how did you get a skin? Well, he had to sacrifice. And it wasn't Yahweh, it was Yahshua who was acting in place of Yahweh at that time. And so there's so much symbolism in that. He sacrificed probably a lamb to make clothing for Adam and Eve. They were covered, their nakedness, their sinfulness was exposed, and so they were covered. It's a picture of the Messiah, mm-hmm. right there in the very beginning of in Genesis. It is so confounding to me. Everything that I've been taught, I look at now as the teachings of mankind. Mm-hmm. The idea is taught by Paul that the law was a tutor to bring us to the Messiah. So people are concluding that you no longer need the tutor. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you don't need the knowledge that you learned from being tutored in the law? No, I mean, how many people graduate with a PhD or a master's or even a bachelor's degree, and they get a job and they forget everything they learned? Mm-hmm. The Torah, the writings, and the prophets are all about Messiah. And, well, and that's why Paul is calling the law a tutor, T-U-D, T-U-T, not a tutor, but a tutor.
Yeah. Well, I think we do see the connection of the sacrifices, that those things would just be circular in motion, and people would do it, but then they would go and continue to sin. In Messiah, we're given a spirit that it won't prevent us. We can push past the spirit and do our own thing. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to do the Father's will, mm-hmm. just as the Messiah did the Father's will. And what did the Messiah do? He didn't sin. Not at all. He was a perfect sacrifice and a perfect example for us. And so we really need to keep our eye on him. We also need to keep an eye on Yahweh's word, because he says that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth and out of Yahweh's mouth. And he quotes the Old Testament in saying this in Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. He quotes it in Matthew 4:4, also in Luke 4:4. Mm-hmm. But going back to Matthew 5, the first words out of the Messiah's mouth basically are repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he was addressing the people back at that time. Repent of what? Repent of doing contrary to what Yahweh's will is, contrary to his commands. And it's been said that they are the Ten Commandments, which is, I think, a foundational mm-hmm. platform, is not the 10 suggestions. They are the 10 Commandments. Mm-hmm. But we find that the third and the fourth one today are two of the most neglected of any of them. And mm-hmm. I think we understand, mm-hmm. just common sense will tell us, we're to do good to one another.
Right.
But first and foremost, we are to serve our Heavenly Father mm-hmm. and to worship him in spirit, his spirit, and in truth,
right.
his truth.
Whose name has been covered up almost 7,000 times in Scripture. Mm-hmm. They've put the words the Lord, and Lord usually in all caps. Well, it's always in all caps when it covers up the name of Yahweh. They've also covered it with the name of God in all caps. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you see that in Scripture, that is the name of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so the third commandment is to not ruin. It says, do not take the name of Yahweh in vain. Well, in vain means to put up something false. It's vanity. It's destruction. So if we don't know the name, if we don't use the name of Yahweh, we are destroying his name.
The appointed times or feasts of Leviticus chapter 23 were kept in the Old Testament, were kept in the New, and will be kept in the coming kingdom. The question is, why would we not keep them now? To learn more, request your free in-depth study entitled Biblical Holy Days. Write to YIY 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll free 1-877-642-4101.
The importance of the name of Yahweh is is great. We're taught in Joel, in Romans, in the book of Acts, he who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not mean simply just saying the name. That's not going to do it. But calling on him means trusting and believing in the power of Yahweh through Yahshua, mm-hmm. to heal us, to save us, to protect us. That is what, you know, calling upon the name means. A lot of times people have accused us of using magic with the name, but, you know.
Like it's some magical good.
Yeah, it's not that. Mm-hmm. But it's simply honoring what he's telling us to do.
Sure.
Calling upon his name.
Yeah.
And the fourth commandment that you mentioned is the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in Scripture that says that Sunday is the day that has been set aside. Saturday, from sundown on Friday to sundown on our what we call Saturday, is the Sabbath day. That is a holy convocation installed in this world by Yahweh himself. It mm-hmm. is his day that he's appointed for us to meet with him.
Yeah, and it's a sign between his people and himself.
Exactly.
It says that these Sabbaths are a sign unto him mm-hmm. and us. It's like, you know, hey, I'm here, mm-hmm. And keeping his ways is very right. beneficial. It's a blessing.
It's a sign that we're his children.
Mm-hmm. And that now the names are found in Scripture, a sign. Mm-hmm. Or a seal, rather.
Yeah.
So you have the sign and a seal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Spirit is a seal, seals us. But you read Revelation 14:1, and you get more insight into how important the names are and those that think upon mm-hmm. and have this understanding.
Right.
But we find, thinking about the law, well, that's just Jewish. Well, do we know that Abraham was not a Jew nor an Israelite, but he was a Hebrew?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand the lineage and where the promises are coming from. Mm-hmm. They come through Isaac and down through Jacob and through his 12 sons. And we find a grafting in process that goes directly back into the olive tree, which is Israel,
mm-hmm.
both houses,
right.
not just one tribe of the Jews. But we find in Matthew 5:18, Yahshua saying to us, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Has all been accomplished? I don't think so.
Although I've known pastors who will say, it's finished. He did it. It's all over. We don't need mm-hmm. to obey the commands anymore.
And it's emphasized, you know, well, he's come to fulfill. He fulfilled. Well, he's filling up. The prophecy was that the law and Yahweh's ways would be magnified.
Right.
And that's exactly what the Messiah does.
Right.
He says in verse 19, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps them, teaches them, does them, you know, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Do we want to be called great? Or do we want to, you know, it's actually appealing, I think, to our human nature. But Yahshua is making it very plain mm-hmm. that he's not come to do away with the law of his father.
Right.
It's absurd when we really think about it.
He came to demonstrate what the law looks like. Mm-hmm. He asks us to follow him. And there are many passages in the Scripture that tell us to do like he does. All these things that we're talking about today, 12 years ago, I had no idea of. I would read the Scripture, but I had this belief that because I hadn't gone to school and learned about the Bible, that the man standing behind the podium preaching knew more than I did. And so what good would it do if I read the Scriptures on my own? I might read it wrong. And then one day, while I was sitting in the pew after a sermon, Yahweh spoke to me. And it's not like I heard words or anything. He just changed my heart. He wrote three words on my heart, which were, honor my Sabbath. And it's like, I didn't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He changed me, and he gave me energy that was just not of my own. To read the Scriptures. I made a vow to only do three things on Sabbath: read the Scripture, pray, and sing to him. And in doing that, I received so much energy. I couldn't put the Bible down. I read it and read it. The first verse I got was Romans 3:4, let Yahweh be true and every man a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And what that spoke to me was I had to forget everything that I had been taught by the mouth of man and set it aside. I mean, who can forget, but set it aside and read what Yahweh says to me. And in reading that, I had many jaw-dropping moments, because what I'm reading is not what was being preached. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the pastor to tell him what I'm reading, eventually he said, don't read the Old Testament. It's only good for a few stories. Mm-hmm. And so I knew at that point that he did not have the Spirit. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Mm-hmm. But that Yahweh had called me out to worship on his day. That's what my calling is, to honor the Sabbath. And then I learned that there are other Sabbaths, there are high Sabbaths. I learned about the 3 days and three nights that Yahshua was in the belly of the earth.
Mm-hmm. 72
you know,
hours.
The one sign of, you know, that he's given to us, mm-hmm. that he is the Messiah, which is totally ignored in the teachings of today. Mm-hmm. He was not impaled and he was not killed on a Friday. He was...
And raised on a Sunday, a 36-hour period.
Right.
Yeah, they missed the...
Right.
The
and so, I mean, these are so clear if we have the mindset. And for me, I do not know why he called me out, why he gave me this gift, this truth. And I am humbled. I don't understand why he picked me, because I was not looking. I was perfectly happy sitting in the pew listening to the pastor. Mm-hmm. But he's made so much of a difference in my life. I just want people to understand that the Scripture is true. Every word in the Scripture is true. And there may be some words in our translated Bibles that have been added. But if you read the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you will see the connection that is there. It is all one book, mm-hmm. given to us.
Absolutely. You know, my eyes are drawn to Romans 11:7. It says, what then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened, just as it is written, Elohim gave them a spirit of stupor, mm-hmm. eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And there are those that are in a stupor. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 4 talks about a restoration of all things before the Messiah returns. You're hearing some of these things today. His coming is coming soon. And it's closer now than it ever has been.
Right, right. And it's for that reason that we want this word to go out. You who are listening today, it is our prayer and our hope that you will take what we're saying and consider that the Scripture is true, that Yahshua came to restore Israel. And that all that simply means is from the very beginning is that anyone who's willing to worship Yahweh according to his dictates, according to his teachings, according to the law, will be saved and redeemed.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time as we look into more of Yahweh's Word and His revealed truth.